my sermon title today is What Does It Profit a Man to Gain the Whole World and to Lose His Own Soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Matthew 24:10, I read, this is from the CBS, I'm in the Christian Standard Bible. It reads, Matthew 24:10, then many will fall away, betray one another, and hate one another. When I was reading the text is actually 2 Thessalonians 2:1-10, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I'm just going to read one verse from the text, and that is 2 Thessalonians 1:10, and it's the third verse that I want to read. It says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to take a moment to tell you that this word, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, ministered to me. In the wake of what we have gone through as a country in this political season, as I read this, I was kind of astonished at how closely the problems of that time are resembled to what we are actually experiencing today. And so, also with the church, it talks about a falling away. You know, a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people discuss how some members are not attending anymore, some of the things that's occurring all over the world, with big churches, people are falling away. And in this passage of scripture, it talks about a great apostasy. And apostasy means falling away, but it means more than that too. It also means when people are sitting in church professing to worship God, but yet they are really believing some false doctrine. In other words, they're adding to God, or they're taken away from God. Well, God is a holy God, and there are some people that think that you could do anything you want and claim that God is going to bless you, or claim that you're saved. I heard a preacher, a clip, and a preacher was speaking. He was talking about Christian nationalism. He said they're walking around with a mouth full of scriptures and a heart full of hate. And I think that describes the picture in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of people today that think that money, that wealth is happiness. There's a lot of people that equate wealth with happiness, but that's not so. You don't have to, as the song was saying, you don't have to have a lot of money, a lot of land, and a lot of power to be happy. This passage of scripture, I really felt was like very fitting for what we've actually experienced today. So the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica about those that have came in to the church with heresies and preaching and claiming that what they're preaching and teaching was given by the apostle himself and Timothy and Silas, who had founded that church, with letters saying that it was from Paul. So he writes an actual letter to disprove those letters. And let me read this first of all, so we can get a picture of what I'm referring to. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be easily upset or troubled, either by a prophecy or a message or by a letter supposedly from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the apostasy come first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he sits in God's temple proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was still with you, I used to tell you about this? And you know that currently restrains him, and you know what currently restrains him, so that he will reveal in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, but the one now restraining will do so until he is out of the way, and the lawless one will be revealed. The Lord Jesus will destroy him with the breath of his mouth and will bring him to nothing in the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is based on Satan's working with every kind of miracle, both signs and wonder, serving the lie, and every wicked deception among those who are perishing. They perish because they did not accept and love the truth, and so be saved. You know, we are living in a time of lawlessness right now. Truly a time of lawlessness. You know, we have a DA here in Los Angeles that has been very lenient on crime. And you see more and more people criminal activity happening without any, in broad daylight, without any restraints or any fear of getting caught even. But not only that, there are a lot of people that have been convicted of murder having their cases retried under this current system of lawlessness that we are now intervening and having them overturned. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is that people are following false teachers, believing everything they say. And we even have preachers that are rubber stamping and justifying these false teachings and believing that the lies will justify, that the end will justify their means. The great apostasy. The word apostasy is when a baptized believer publicly rejects one or more doctrines of God. An apostate is someone who once believed but now rejects the truth. You know, as a country, we claim to be a Christian nation, but we are actually becoming a lawless nation. And the man of lawlessness is here. While we project the image of being a godly nation, we reject the poor. Proverbs 19:17 says, Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. I heard a preacher saying that there's no reward in giving to the poor. And it was hard for me to believe that a preacher was actually saying that, but he was. And then it says that the foreigner residing among you must be treated as a native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You know, when I read this particular verse and I thought about how it applies to us today, you know, I remember being a kid in the 50s during the time that we were marching for civil rights and everything, and being rejected, leaders having, you know, terrible things to say about us, wanting us to stay, and being told to go back to Africa. Don't forget that they told us that when they started talking about these illegals that's coming here. I have a relative that works in the, well, a couple of relatives that work in the jail system. And when Trump first did this thing about deporting people, you know, I think that we automatically think that he's talking about Mexican people. But my relative told me, you'll be surprised how many black people are in this process and that's locked up now and being them wanting to send them back. Jamaican, Dominican, people from Africa. He said, you'd be surprised how many black people was getting caught up in this stuff. So don't think it's them and we don't have nothing to worry about. Because some of these people are even talking about, well, it's hard to believe, but talking about as African-Americans, us not being citizens. And so, you know, as African-Americans, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and 3 says, as African-Americans, we have suffered a lot of injustice here in this country. And I was hearing about, if you are really a Christian, you would vote against abortion. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe in abortion, but I also don't believe in the KKK. And I would not vote with the KKK for any reason. And I want to just tell, I just want to say this very, you know, just to understand that voting with a certain party don't mean that you're not Christian. It don't mean that you're for or against any certain thing. But many people voted with a party based on this law, which nobody voted on when it became law. But the thing I want to say is that I want to say this and just, I don't want to really get into something that my pastor's going to have to clean up, but or argue, and that is that I believe that my way of dealing with homosexuality or abortion is that if I had a chance to talk to somebody personally, I would tell them how I feel and why they should not do this. That's how I feel that you win people over. It has to be a change of heart. Making laws and stuff to decide these things doesn't really work. And for me, when they talk about making these laws, it just hardens people's heart. It starts arguments. It does not allow for an opportunity to preach the gospel to a person. And so I don't think that it's a Christian thing to have to be caught up in these decisions that people make. That's my belief. You know, in the Bible it says the man of lawlessness. And some manuscript says the man of sin. Jesus was brought before Pilate, not Pilate, not wanting to find a guilty and be Pilate not wanting to be found guilty of the blood of innocent man, on the day of release, took Jesus out before the crowd, and he offered to release Jesus or Barabbas. And the crowd shouted back, "Not him, give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Just like today, they cry out for the man of sin, completely overlooking his sins. And today, as in the nations, today our nation is in the process of overturning convictions, setting people free, giving immunity to people that have been convicted of crimes, and there's going to be more of that shortly. We are a nation that turned aside from God. The apostasy is when the church not only leaving God the faith, but adding to God and subtracting from God. And so there are many churches that are operating today that are preaching their own doctrine that's not true to the word of God. You know, God doesn't need a president. God don't need man. God will raise up his own leaders. You know, some people think that it's going to be a man that's going to come and set things right. But I just want to tell you that God is able. When Jesus was walking the earth, he did not go to the rich. He did not go to the politicians. He did not go and dine and live and with politicians. He did not seek comfort or money or political power. None of that. And he's not seeking it today. So when people believe that God has put a certain person in office, God can change the heart of a man that's already in office. He doesn't need to elect somebody to do his will, because God will raise up those that will do his will. Right now in the Congress, there's it's been resolved, but it was a fight over a transgender man using the women's locker room, shower, et cetera, in the restrooms. And the person made a statement saying that they were elected as officials despite the fact that they're a minority. And you know, the truth of the matter is that all have fallen and all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. And this person is not a minority, it's another sinner. And sinners elect a sinner into office. And that's how that came about. And so oftentimes, because of political correctness, we don't call things by their right name. People say that it wasn't a choice, it's a choice. And I'm not saying this to start any type of controversy, but I will respect people's choices, but I won't co-sign it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, I'm not changing the whole subject with this verse, but I just want everybody concerned that only with the things of the flesh, people that are concerned only with the things of the flesh and things of the here and now, power here on earth, power having comforts, all the comforts in life, having an easy life, owning property, multiple business, money in the bank. You know what? I worked with a man, and he had a lot. He had a lot of property. He had multiple businesses, and he would talk to me from time to time, and he was telling me how I could make a lot of money. But you know, I want to tell you something. I found out just by being around him that I didn't want a lot of money. I didn't want to be rich. And you might think I'm just talking about one person, but I've noticed this about all these wealthy people. This man never rested it. He was always up doing something. He would call me up and say, you know, I'm having a birthday party for my kids. You want to come over? I come over. We're doing all the work. And I looked at him, I said, you man, you got a lot of money. Why are you hiring nobody to do this? Because he wanted to save the money. And he was working. He worked harder than me. He got up earlier than me. And one of the things I found out about wealthy people is, you know, for me, if I fall, I'm already on the ground, so I don't have to worry about it. But if they fall, they got a long way to fall from. And so they're always chasing the dollar, always. That's not really a way to live. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I prefer joy, peace, love, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such things there is no law. There's no joy in things. Things can't love you back. People will fall away from the church, from the things that really matter. I found that what really matters in life is making peace with God and my fellow man. These people cry out against abortion, but they don't have no problem with an unarmed black man being murdered by the police or sending people to other countries to fight battles to this country. I was shocked, being a veteran going to the VA hospital, how many people that these illegals, these people that come here that they don't want over here, have served in our country on the battlefield. At the VA hospital, coming to get treated, just like me, that served in our nations, served in our army, our militaries. I'm working with a man from the Philippines, and we were talking, and I started talking about the army, and I thought he was talking about being in the Philippines army. I didn't know he was talking about being in the American army, but he has served in the American army. You know, the big problem with these Christian nationalists, they're talking about all these different people and all these different things from a moral high ground. Church should be full. But the problem is we're dealing with the great falling away. Paul left us with some encouraging words. 13, Thessalonians 2, 13 says, but we always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in truth. Through belief in truth. There's a lot of stuff out there that sounds like the truth. But Paul reminded us to be thankful in every situation, knowing that God is in control. This Thanksgiving, remember to give God thanks, because whatever you may be going through, he has made a way. God can make a way out of no way. He did it for the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea. He'll do the same for us. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have joy than silver and gold. I'd rather have love than silver and gold. I'd rather have hope than silver and gold. No, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold, whether it be in wealthy and at the expense of others. I thank God that he died on the cross for my sin and for your sins. I thank God on that day that he carried his cross to a hill called Golgotha, where they laid him on a wooden cross, and they nailed his feet and they nailed his hands, and they stood him up between two thieves. He was pierced in his side, and then they, after he had gave up the ghost, they laid him in a borrowed tomb where he stayed there all day Thursday, and then he was all there Friday. He stayed there Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he rose again. He rose with all power in his hand. He rose with power to save you and to save me. And if you don't have a reason to give thanks this Thanksgiving, give the Lord thanks for your salvation. Give the Lord thanks that you're able to see, because the people that don't believe, they're blind to what's going on today. But we have the, we're able to see, and Paul says, don't be worried. Just know what's going on. Amen.